Senate.
Senator Sender Call. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call to be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
All on that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Dennis Morum, our Senate chaplain from Cloquet, Minnesota.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank you for the dedication of these men and women, these senators who come to this chamber at this time, away from their jobs and their busy schedules. Bless their work today. We give thanks for the season of the year, for the crisp morning air, the fall colors we'll soon see, the birds that begin to migrate, and the ripening of crops, and for this rain that has fallen over most of our state today. We pray for the many farmers throughout our state. May our fall schedule be favorable to those who had to plant late into the spring. We ask for your blessing of warm temperatures and dry weather so that all of their crops can be harvested. And we pray for those to whom weather has not been kind. We pray for those throughout our state who've lost property or livelihood or services to wind and rain, ice and snow. We pray for your senator. We pray for your guidance upon these senators today as they discuss relief for these misfortunes. We pray this morning also for former Senator Rod Graham and his family. We pray that you would surround him and all of his loved ones. May your caring presence work in and through friends and neighbors, constituents, so that his family may find comfort and strength today and in the days to come. We pray also today for our senators and representatives in Washington, as they will soon debate over how we respond to Syria and its leader. We pray that you'd give to each senator, each representative, wisdom, guidance, and the courage to speak and to vote out of his or her convictions. In all the issues we face on a national level and on our state, may we always look to you for guidance, for your direction, for your wisdom, so that the greater good for all humanity may be accomplished and your will for your people and your world can be done. Again, we thank you for all of your blessings. Amen.
One nation under God.
The secretary will take the roll.
Good to see you.
First District, Leroy A. Stumpf.
Please say present or here after the secretary calls your name.
Second District, Rod Skoy. Third District, Thomas M. Bach. Fourth District, Kent Eakin. Fifth District, Tom Saxhog. Sixth District, David J. Thomasoni. 7th District, Roger J. Reinert. 8th District, Bill G. Ingebrigtsen. 9th District, Paul E. Gazelka. 10th District, Carrie Rood. 11th District, Tony Laurie. 12th District, Tori N. Westrum. 13th District, Michelle L. Fishbach. 14th District, John C. Peterson. 15th District, David M. Brown. 16th District, Gary H. Dames. 17th District, Lyle Coonan. 18th District, Scott J. Newman. 19th District, Kathy Sharon. 20th District, Kevin L. Dahl. 21st District, Matt Schmidt. 22nd District, Bill Weber. 23rd District, Julie A. Rosen. 24th District, Vicki Jensen. 25th District, David H. Senjum. 26th District, Carla J. Nelson. 27th District, Dan Sparks. 28th District, Jeremy R. Miller. 29th District, Bruce D. Anderson. 30th District, Mary Kiffmeyer. 31st District, Michelle R. Benson. 32nd District, Sean R. Nino. 33rd District, David J. Osmick. 34th District, Warren Limmer. 35th District, Brandon Peterson. 36th District, John A. Hoffman. 37th District, Alice M. Johnson. 38th District, Roger C. Chamberlain. 39th District, Karen Housley. 40th District, Chris A. Eaton. 41st District, Barb J. Goodwin. 42nd District, Bev Scalzi. 43rd District, Charles W. Wieger. 44th District, Terry E. Bonoff. 45th District, Ann H. Rest. 46th District, Ron Latz. 47th District, Julianne E. Ortman. 48th District, David W. Han. 49th District, Melissa Franzen. 50th District, Melissa Halverson Wickland. 51st District, Jim Carlson. 52nd District, James P. Metzen. 53rd District, Susan Kent. 54th District, Katie Sieben. 55th District, Eric R. Pratt. 56th District, Dan D. Hall. 57th District, Greg D. Clausen. 58th District, Dave A. Thompson. 59th District, Bobby Joe Champion. 60th District, Carrie Dietzick. 61st District, D. Scott Dibble. 62nd District, Jeff Hayden. 63rd District, Patricia Torres Ray. 64th District, Richard J. Cohen. 65th District, Sandra L. Pappas. 66th District, John Marty. 67th District, Fong Her.
A quorum is present. Members, on your desks are copies of the Governor's Proclamation. The Secretary will now read the Governor's Proclamation.
Proclamation for Special Session 2013.
Just a minute. We only have to be here for today, so I think we could be quiet and pay attention to the proceedings. Thank you. Secretary Zoft.
Whereas the Minnesota Constitution allows the Governor to call a special sitting of the legislature on extraordinary occasions, now therefore I, Mark Dayton, Governor of Minnesota, do hereby summon you, members of the legislature, to convene in special session on Monday, September 9, 2013 at 10 a.m. at the State Capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota.
We proceed now to motions and resolutions. Senate Resolution Number 1 is on your desk, and the Secretary will read the resolution.
Senators Bach and Han introduce Senate Resolution Number 1, a Senate resolution relating to notifying the House of Representatives and the Governor that the Senate is organized.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move adoption of Senate Resolution Number 1.
Is there any discussion?
Hold on a minute.
I think that's actually 2.
Is that number 2?
Letter reintroduce. Go ahead.
The Secretary will reintroduce the resolution.
This is a correction. Senators Bach and Han introduced Senate Resolution Number 1, a Senate resolution relating to organization and operation of the Senate during the special session.
Is there any discussion on Senate Resolution Number 1? Senator Bach.
Madam President, this is the same resolution that we've used in previous special sessions, and this sets the parameters under which the Senate is organized.
Is there any more discussion? The Secretary will take the roll on Senate Resolution Number 1. Members will please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 56 in favor, 0 opposed, the motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. Now the secretary will read Senate Resolution Number 2.
Senators Bach and Hahn introduce Senate Resolution Number 2, a Senate resolution relating to notifying the House of Representatives and the governor that the Senate is organized.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move Senate Resolution Number 2 be adopted.
Is there any discussion on Senate Resolution Number 2? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we revert to the introduction and first reading of Senate bills. Secretary Zoft will read Senate File Number 1. Senator Bach on Senate Resolution Number 1. Senator Bach on Senate File Number 1.
Madam President, I move Senate File Number 1 be laid on the table.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate File Number 1 is laid on the table. The Senate bill introductions on the agenda will be referred as indicated and given their first reading. We now have some that will be read by the Secretary.
Senators Newman, Thompson, Westrum, and Senjum introduce Senate File Number 28, a bill for an act relating to taxation, sales, and use, repealing the tax on repairing and maintaining commercial and industrial machinery and equipment.
The bill will be given its first reading and sent to rules.
Senators Miller, Nelson, Kiffmeyer, and Rosen introduce Senate File Number 29, a bill for an act relating to taxation, sales, and use, repealing the tax on certain repair and maintenance services.
The bill will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
Senators Brown and Hahn introduce Senate File Number 30, a bill for an act relating to taxation, sales, and use, repealing the tax on certain repair and maintenance services.
The bill will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
Senators Brown and Hahn introduce Senate File Number 31, a bill for an act relating to taxation, sales, and use, repealing the tax on storage and warehouse services.
The bill will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
Senators Brown and Hahn introduce Senate File Number 32, a bill for an act relating to taxation, sales, and use, reinstating the exemption for telecommunications equipment.
The bill will be given its first reading and sent to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
Senators Chamberlain, Benson, Ortman, and Brown introduce Senate File Number 33, a bill for an act relating to taxation, sales, and use, repealing the tax on storage and warehousing services.
The bill will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Secretary Soft.
Senators Chamberlain, Brown, Osmek, and And Benson introduced Senate File Number 33, a bill for an act relating to taxation, sales, and use, repealing the tax on storage and warehousing services.
The bill will be given its first reading and sent to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Continuing under motions and resolutions, messages from the House. Senator Bach. Secretary Soff will read the message from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to inform you that the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is now duly organized for the 2013 special session pursuant to law. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'm about to move for a recess of the Senate, and Senator Cohen is going to hold an informal committee hearing of the Finance Committee in room 123. Any of you that have any questions or comments about Senate File Number 1 that we're going to take up when we get back, please feel free to attend Senator Cohen's committee hearing, whether you're on the committee or not, and ask questions. People from the administration will be there to answer any questions that you have, and Senator Cohen has assured me that he's going to be as timely as possible. So I expect members 30 to 45 minutes or so, but please have your office keep an eye on what the Finance Committee is doing, and shortly after they adjourn, we will reconvene the Senate. Madam President, I move a recess of the Senate.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Continuing our motions and resolutions, Senator Bach to take Senate File 1 from the table.
Madam President, I move Senate File 1 be taken from the table.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Section 4, or Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File 1, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File 1 its second and third reading and placed on its final passage.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate File 1 will be given its second reading. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, members, we'll first move passage of Senate File 1.
It's before us, Senator
Cohen. It's before us now. Okay, fine. Madam President, members, Senate File 1 is a fairly simple bill, and I know a lot of folks have participated in conversations, whether informally in the Senate Finance Committee that just took place or in the working group meeting of about 10 days ago. The bill deals with the disaster request based upon the FEMA match from this year's June 20th storm, and it appropriates $4.5 million from the general fund for the purposes of that storm. And I think members understand that this is based upon the FEMA requirements, where FEMA provides 75% of the appropriation, state or local match, then it's 25%. In this instance, the state has made up for the local match as well. The counties affected, and again, I think most members understand that the process is that the State Department of Homeland Security through the Department of Public Safety makes a survey of what's going on around the state with the disaster, conveys that to the commissioner. The governor then makes the request to the president to have the declaration of emergency made. That was done. FEMA then makes a determination of what's eligible. So there have been some concerns. I know Senator Newman had raised a concern in the committee. There have been other concerns relative to particular types of impacts that are not covered, or in the alternative, some geographic areas that are not covered because they don't meet either the FEMA requirement in terms of what is there or the FEMA level that is needed. And I can suggest to members, I think the conversation, as I indicated in the Finance Committee, has been such in the run-up to this session that in all likelihood, I would guess we'll take a look at how we handle emergencies in the future, both in terms of possibly appropriations as well as in terms of either having the statutory authority to transfer funds absent a special session, or how we handle the monies generally and what kind of requirements there might be that as a state we could add as opposed to what we're dependent on relative to FEMA. So I don't expect that today's special session is the end of the conversation. At least with what we have in front of us right now, the affected areas are basically west central Minnesota, central Minnesota, a couple of counties in the south central, including Hennepin County, and then several counties in the far southeastern part of the state on the Iowa border are the counties where there was eligibility based upon the FEMA match. The appropriation requested is $4.5 million, and that's been determined to come from three sources. $800,000 has been from, I guess some of this is all from, not all of it, but some of this is from, a couple of the appropriations are from public safety. $800,000 from one part of the public safety appropriation for last year, the 2012 Northeastern disaster, and $2 million from that same appropriation. As part of that appropriation, there was also $1.7 million transferred from the deed MIF fund, and it was determined, particularly in that case, that that amount's going to cancel at the end of the year anyways. So that total of $4.5 million in appropriation doesn't in any way take away from the monies that were needed for the Northeastern disaster. There are monies that would be either, again, canceled or simply just sitting in the general fund. So I don't think anybody has to have any concern that the monies appropriated in this instance are being taken away from needs elsewhere in the state. There's an additional appropriation, a smaller appropriation, and Senator Weber might be speaking to that in Section 3 of the bill that deals with southwestern Minnesota. That storm, which took place this year, I think that was April of this year, we'd already appropriated money for by the time we concluded the 2013 session. I think there have been some concerns that the money couldn't be accessed appropriately for Rock, Nobles, counties, and the city of Worthington. And the feeling was as long as we were in session, it would be better to be safe than sorry, in effect, and make sure that we provided the very explicit statutory authority so those geographies could get access to the money, which totals, I think, a little under $220,000, I think something like $219,000+. So this is money that has already been directly appropriated. Some question as to whether or not there was the ability to access it for the purposes needed. Now, I think Senator Weber might speak to the fact, and other members might speak as well. I know I've heard from my folks in Ramsey County, there's been some discussion of Rice County, some discussion of other needs for the aforementioned counties, Rock, Nobles, Worthington. So my guess is you'll see something during next year's session that might attempt to address some of where things are, in effect, falling through the cracks. Otherwise, I think this bill has been agreed to. In fact, we have on our desk a signed declaration from the governor and the four legislative leaders that this is the bill that is to be presented to the Senate today without amendment. Hopefully, we can pass it fairly quickly, have the governor sign it, I would expect today, and make sure that the affected areas and the affected folks get the help that they are looking for.
Is there any discussion? Senator Newman.
Madam President, thank you. I have two counties that are involved in this disaster relief bill, one being McLeod and the other one being Sibley. And in anticipation that this bill will in fact pass, I want to thank my colleagues for supporting the constituents that I have in those two counties. The other comment that I wanted to make, Senator Cohn has already alluded to, and I want to provide a little bit more background, and that would be to the request of the Meeker Cooperative Electrical to receive some assistance in this bill. Ultimately, that request was denied. I want Senator Cohn to know that I do, in fact, appreciate the fact that he and Senate leadership considered it. I also want Senator Cohn to know that I understand that to include this cooperative in this disaster relief bill would include a change in public policy, and it would be appropriate to have committee hearings with regard to this change in public policy. So I just wanted to make sure that Senator Cohn knows that I appreciate his consideration. The problem is that rural cooperatives are not eligible for state disaster assistance, whereas they are eligible for federal disaster assistance from FEMA. And as indicated in Governor Dayton's letter dated July 17th to President Obama, the storm that we are considering here today caused power outages for in excess of 600,000 homes and businesses in the state of Minnesota, and is the largest power outage in the history of the state of Minnesota. It seems to me that under the current circumstances in the state of Minnesota, where a municipal power company is in fact eligible for disaster assistance from the state of Minnesota, whereas an electrical co-op, a nonprofit electrical co-op, is not eligible under Minnesota statutes. The only difference that I can see between the two entities is that a municipal power company provides electrical power to people who reside within a municipality, whereas a rural cooperative provides power to people who live out in the country. And in the case of Meeker Electrical Cooperative, they came to the state of Minnesota seeking assistance because for 3 years in a row, they had facilities that were severely damaged by storms and were in fact looking for some assistance. So I will tell you, colleagues, that I have now drafted a bill that I will be introducing and asking that we, as Senator Cohn indicated, take up in the next session and have that discussion regarding the policy in the state of Minnesota for entities other than the public entities that now are allowed. And I would invite any of my rural colleagues to join with me on that bill. And I want to bring to your attention very briefly part of what Senator Dayton referred to in his letter to President Obama, whereon he indicated that Great Energy Rural Electric in Swift County sustained significant damage, and Runestone Electric in Grant County sustained severe damage, as well as the cooperative in my district. And so any particularly rural senators who are have a desire to assist their rural electric cooperatives in the upcoming session, I would welcome you on the bill that I will be introducing. Madam President.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I think it's good that we're here today to deal with this natural disaster, helping these communities out that have suffered from losses, and sometimes they need our help to help with the federal management dollars in order to make these communities as whole as possible. I do have a concern in the fact that we have communities out there that will not be receiving any aid because of the way the formula is set up. And I think it's important that at the next session we take a look at that formula so that we can extend help to as many of these communities as possible. And maybe that's going to require revisiting and looking at a change in the formula. I think it's great, like I said, that we're here to discuss the helping in the natural disaster area today. I think also it's unfortunate that we've missed an opportunity to deal with some of the man-made disasters that we have. I think there was an opportunity to deal with the warehouse tax, the equipment repair tax and also the telecom tax, and I think it's unfortunate we missed out on that. We do have to take a look at the impact that's having on a Minnesota residents, especially in rural Minnesota, and I've received a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls from folks very concerned about this, and it's unfortunate today that we just looked at natural disasters, but that's the way it is. I do have a question. If Senator Bach would yield.
Senator Bach, did you say?
Yes.
Senator Bach, will you yield? He will yield.
Thank you, Senator Bach. I'm just curious, as I understand, the agreement for the disaster relief bill today was put together by yourself, the minority leader from the Senate, the Speaker of the House, and minority leader from the House. And obviously, it would be apparent that Governor Dayton was involved in this. Senator Bach, could you tell me, if you would, please, do you feel that Governor Dayton has read this bill and that he understands the bill?
Senator Bach.
Senator Dems, I believe that he has, and the letter, members, that's on your desk that was signed by the four leaders and the governor is, I believe, word for word, except for the change required identifying a different bill. All the other language is the same as the language that we used in the 2012 session.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Senator Bach. I appreciate that assurance so that we know that's taken care of. Again, like I said, I'm very supportive of the natural disaster relief bill here today, and I would appreciate it if we could have went further, but that's the way the day will be, so thank you very much.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I'm happy that we can be here today to offer disaster relief to those counties affected by June storms in Minnesota. Some would argue that these storms are caused by man-made climate change, but not all agree on this theory. However, there is one thing I think that we can all agree on, is that Minnesota is being hit by man-made tax change, and that is proving to be a disaster for all Minnesota counties. So members, I look forward to not only providing disaster relief today for natural disasters, but I also look forward to, during next session, providing disaster relief for the man-made tax change that's occurring in Minnesota.
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, members. Like everybody else, it's great to be here in agreement on addressing this issue for much-needed relief for those counties and those citizens in those counties suffering from disaster. So thank you, Senator Bach and Governor and members for doing that. But there is a tragedy in my district. In Lionel Lakes, there is a tragedy, and the tragedy is unfolding across the state, day by day, week by week, district by district. 300 jobs are near being lost in my district, in Lionel Lakes. 300 jobs, members, Madam President. 300. That's families, individuals, on a business that's been here since 1935. 1935 they've been here, but they are either have to close their doors, lose those jobs, or go across the border to stay in business. And in doing so, you will disrupt the lives of 300 people and families who have been employed for 10, 20, and 30 years with this company. So like everybody else, please have a care, members, Madam President, of the damage you're wreaking and bringing on the rest of Minnesotans, on poor and middle-class people. Thank you.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I rise to support the disaster relief package that we have before us. I do represent Morrison County, and there's $133,000 of relief there, and I'm glad that we're moving forward with this. I want to share some of my concerns, as you've heard from some of the other people here. In my district, I heard very little from the people in Morrison County about the disaster that we are taking care of. But I have heard quite a bit since we've come back related to what are we doing related to taxes, particularly farmers and small business owners. In fact, I talked to one guy that had 74 employees. He's moving to South Dakota, he says, and taking 45 with him. another one that was going to expand three stores across Minnesota and stop moving forward. And so these are real-life situations where real-life people's livelihoods and jobs are going to be threatened because we're not doing anything about it. And Madam President, members, I'm on the Tax Committee for Reform. All of us had eyes wide open as we were going through the bill. We knew that some of these things, if they were allowed in there, would be causing great harm. The day it passed on the floor, we debated it for 2 or 3 hours. All of us had eyes wide open in this that passing those bills and causing those damage. So today, we missed a golden opportunity. I support the agreement that we decided we're just going to focus on that, but we missed a golden opportunity, and I hope that we take the time as session begins to correct some of these problems.
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam President. I am pleased to stand in support of the disaster bill. Having authored one this spring for my area, I recognize the importance of it to the communities that are affected. I do wish to make a few comments. This morning I had the privilege of sitting in on the Finance Committee hearing, and I want to repeat a few comments that I made there. Oftentimes we believe that we come and we approve these and then we have picked up the 25% state and local share and that somehow we have now made our communities whole. And I want to assure people that that is not the case. In the instance of the ice storms which hit my area this spring, and we saw massive damage occur to many different areas, particularly the trees. And we assume that because FEMA comes in and we approve the 25%, that therefore we've got everything covered. And yet, for example, the city of Worthington has over $900,000 of costs that are not covered by the FEMA rules and or the state rules. We can go in and trim the branches that have actually broken, but we can't, if the tree is so badly mangled it has to be taken down, we can't pay for that, we can't pay for the stump removal, we can't pay for the tree replacement. Well, the truth of the matter is, when you had almost every branch, even branches the size of my little finger, that are covered by 3 inches of ice, there is a massive amount of damage. And also, when you go into the rules, originally our communities were told that, you know, their city employees, their time, both regular and overtime, could be submitted for compensation. And yet, then all of a sudden, the rules changed. No, it's now only the overtime hours, even though federal law says that both regular and overtime can be covered. You know, they could have went out and hired the private sector. They could have went out and hired people to come in and take care of those trees. But quite frankly, with the lack of available people, who would have then been there to take the tree off of Grandpa and Grandma's house in the private sector? No one. And so the cities went ahead, spent the time and the energy to go remove the trees from the public improvements, from the streets, and as a result, they don't get compensated for that fact. Senator Newman referred to the REAs, and yes, they are covered by FEMA. And yet many of the REAs in my area who lost hundreds and hundreds of poles come to find out that, well, all of a sudden, yes, you're covered, but, oh, if you didn't have a previous disaster plan in place, now we probably aren't going to cover that. Although no one really knew about that requirement in the first place. And so I think we need to really step back. I think we need to work with our federal counterparts to go to them and say, hey, there are some changes that need to be made in the FEMA program. Secondly, I think we need to take a look at our own state agencies and make sure that they do nothing similar in terms of having a set of rules that are contrary to the laws that we pass here in the legislature. And I think that and I appreciate the fact that we've taken the balance of that $250,000 that was previously allocated and have reconditioned it to make it available to the areas in my district. And I also want to say thank you to Senator Cohen for his willingness to consider some of these unmet needs as we meet in next year's legislative session. Certainly our areas of greater Minnesota need to be some assistance in covering these type of things. When you have an amount of over $900,000 of unmet need and a total levy capacity of $3 million, it indeed becomes a hardship for our community. And I think also as we look at people that are indeed having second thoughts about business expansion and that type of thing, it's going to be, there are going to be fewer taxpayers on which to recover these costs.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I too would like to thank the majority who are who have led by taking care of this disaster. I think it's really important that we help those communities that really need the help. But I too want to voice my opinion on the great opportunity we're missing today, an opportunity to make wrong right. And it's important that we do that. That's why we're here to govern. I have a letter from one of my constituents, also happens to be a friend of mine. And he said, Dan, I now have a five-year plan to move my company. He says, I only have 37 employees, but I'm moving my company to Florida within 5 years. He says, I live down there half the time anyway. I don't need to be in Minnesota, and I'm not going to pay these taxes. And it's not just one person that said this to me. I've had many people say, I'm either going to leave or I'm thinking about leaving. And they're friends. They're community members. They're people who participate and add to the communities that we have. They're good people. I think it's important. Or my constituent said, when did the job makers become the tax targets? He also said, I thought only the rich were going to be taxed. Folks, I thought only the rich were going to be taxed. That's not what's happening here. Everybody's getting hit, and it's hard on those of us that are common folk. We need to admit that there was an overreach, admit it, govern, and don't hide. Admit there's an overreach, govern, but don't hide. Minnesotans are leaving Minnesota, and we need to bring them back. This is a great place to live. I've been excited, but I get angered when I see people leaving because of what's been happening here in the last year. Thank you.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. First off, I have focused heavily during my discussion of these issues on the warehousing tax, but I support repeal of the taxes that have been discussed here today, all of the bills that have been put in to the hopper today. I think we ought to get rid of all of those taxes.
Senator Thompson.
They've been damaging.
Senator Thompson, the bill before us is a disaster relief bill, so if you could try to direct your comments to that. I mean, the other members have tried to find a nexus.
Not done there.
Kind.
Not done yet.
All right. Great. Thanks.
So I have focused especially on one thing. Of course, I will give a green vote today. We do have to take care of the disaster relief we have to give the relief to the areas that have been hit by disaster around this state. But the fact of the matter is, the reason I have focused on this warehousing tax is because I've talked to people all around this state. And this one in particular, I believe, is causing people to engage in behavior that's damaging to this state more than these other taxes even. And the fact of the matter is, we had an opportunity to take care of this, and we're not doing it. And that is unfortunate. And the other thing that I'm hearing is that the majority has claimed, the governor has claimed, that somehow a deal couldn't be brokered to eliminate these taxes in the way that they wanted it to be done during this special session. I know for a fact, in talking to the minority leader and other members, that there is a desire to repeal any and all of these taxes that the majority is willing to go for. The fact is, the bottom line is, the governor, the House, and the Senate, the Democrats, had the votes to pass these taxes, sign them into law, and they did. They have the votes to repeal them, and they won't.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I rise in support of the disaster relief bill that is in front of us. This is what we have a strong tradition of being prompt in providing disaster relief, and that is what we're here to do today, and I certainly support that. I do believe that the comments today have indicated and should remind us that we need to look at our Chapter 12 state policies regarding disaster relief we know disasters will happen again. We don't wish them on any of our communities, and yet we know it's a fact of living in Minnesota. And we do need to review our Chapter 12 state policies regarding disaster relief to prevent some of the issues that have been addressed today. And that's something we need to do in our next legislative session. And I also rise in concern about the man-made disaster, which are those tax bills that we have visited with today. And let me just say, there's been a lot of discussion about that warehouse tax. There are millions of dollars of contracts that are at risk in my Senate district. There are buildings, warehouse buildings that are on hold. The contracts have been pulled back to finish those buildings, and those are jobs in my district. Those are jobs across our state, and it also is an increase in cost of nearly 8% of all of those things that are a warehouse. So I would encourage us, while we won't be doing so today because of the agreement before us, I think it's important that moving forward, we strongly, bipartisanly look at repealing the warehouse tax, the telecom tax that is keeping people from getting the high-speed internet that we know our commerce rides on in today's world, and makes it less likely that those upgrades will occur in our state. We must repeal that as well, and there's also been discussion regarding the equipment repair. So I would encourage us bipartisanly to certainly support our disaster relief that we had no control over, and also going forward, look at repealing in a bipartisan way the man-made disaster that is causing havoc throughout our jobs and our taxpayers. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. It was maybe about a year ago we had another disaster relief bill here, and I had expressed some concerns with that. And I appreciate this particular bill, although the process and the product isn't necessarily perfect. It's a lot better. I expect, you know, barring any major changes that I don't know if we're in third reading yet, but barring any major changes, I probably will be voting for this proposal. It has a net zero effect on the general fund. We're repurposing already appropriated funds, and we're doing a good thing to help people that obviously and areas that obviously need that assistance, and that's a good thing. I do not have opposition to disaster relief proposals. The last one that we had, I think, had a bad process, and the place we pulled the money from was the wrong place. But this is a much better product. I expect that I'll be voting for it. I do have a couple of concerns that I'm going to express, Madam President, and to the members, that while we are, as some of my colleagues here have mentioned, while we're doing good things for people that have a need, we are failing to do good things for people that have other needs because of what this body did to them. I'll just give you two anecdotal examples out of the district that I represent. There's a gentleman in rural Isanti County who, like most of us, owns a cell phone. But when he's home, there's about a 3-foot by 3-foot square on his front porch where he can get service on his cell phone. So if one of his family members has a heart attack, or if his house is on fire and the phone lines are out, or whatever the case might be, and he needs to dial for an emergency, if there's some sort of tragedy, he's got to get just in the right spot and stand on one foot and hold the phone up in the air and hope he can get a signal. And he called, I believe it's AT&T that provides the service, but I could be wrong on that. He called them and asked, when are you going to upgrade this service? Because I can hardly get a signal when I'm at home. And the response was, don't count on it anytime soon because of this new telecom tax. We're not going to upgrade. When we do upgrade, it's going to be because we upgraded somewhere else, and we're going to bring in their used tower to upgrade your tower. So he's going to get sloppy seconds at some point, because of what we did to him, and we're not going to fix that here today. And the second story, again in rural Isanti County, there's a business that they make and produce and distribute cheese. I would imagine most of us here like cheese. And they had, well, not the had, they have plans to expand 20, 30, 40 jobs, somewhere in that range. But they're not going to do it now in Minnesota. My constituents, if they're going to get jobs at that expansion, will have to drive to Wisconsin. Because of the tax changes, the tax increases that we implemented in this last session, and we have the opportunity here today to fix it. And the tragedy of the situation is that there's broad bipartisan agreement that we should fix that. There's broad bipartisan agreement that we should fix it. But this body is controlled with a significant majority of the DFL, and they won't do it. We could do it, but you won't. And that is the tragedy that's not getting fixed in this disaster bill. That, if and when we allow that to stay in place today, is the true disaster that Minnesota is facing, and that's unfortunate.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Of course, I'm supporting the disaster relief provision that we're contemplating today, but I wanted to send a message to the governor. Governor, this is a good bill to sign, but there's a complete failure of leadership not to be signing a correction in Minnesota law that you are fully aware of. And I want to remind you, Governor, that this is not the first time you've heard this. In fact, I stood on this Senate floor on the last night of session, and I brought the issue to everyone's attention. And there was an intention on that night, before we ever voted for the warehousing tax and these other taxes, to fix them before we got to 2014. I heard that from the tax chair. And I also mentioned on the Senate floor the other taxes, or the other states that have enacted warehousing taxes that have repealed them. Massachusetts repealed theirs 2 days after it took effect. Maryland repealed theirs before it was implemented. Florida repealed theirs within 6 months, and Michigan after 2 months. I read that on the Senate floor on the last night of session. We should be repealing this now on behalf of Minnesotans. And here's why it will hurt Minnesotans that we aren't doing this today, and why it's failed leadership on the part of the Democrats in Minnesota. There are over 14,000 Minnesotans that are employed in this industry, including Teamsters and 49ers union members. And they pay approximately $35 million in Minnesota payroll taxes. This is hurting Minnesota families, it's hurting Minnesota's business, it's hurting our economy, and we should be fixing it. And the only reason we didn't fix it back then is because we didn't have the money. We didn't have the money? With a $2.1 billion tax increase on Minnesotans, we should be fixing this. We should be finding this money in our budget, and we should be fixing it before those families and businesses make very difficult decisions because of a failure of leadership at the Capitol.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Westrum. Members, I appreciate you keeping your non-germane comments to the bill as short as you have. Appreciate that. Senator Westrum.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I rise in support of the disaster relief bill. Representing 8 of the 18 counties that were declared a federal disaster area, it will be much appreciated. And as we discussed in Finance Committee, Madam President, this isn't a major disaster. Last year we saw a much bigger bill, a much bigger need. But even small disasters in communities are important where they happened. And so it's nice to see the state step up,
handle this issue. The directors of emergency management at our state have been working very well in getting on top of these issues, and we'll continue to do that to make sure this money flows out. Now, for the public and for all of us, this isn't new money. We're reallocating prior dollars that weren't used in prior disaster relief. That's a prudent use of dollars. It's a good way to pull a disaster bill together of the magnitude of $4.5 million for the state share. The counties across the state, some with less damage than others, but nonetheless, they've met the threshold. They've had isolated emergencies, isolated trees down, isolated areas of roads washing out. And those are local disasters. That's what we're here for. Cities pitch in, counties pitch in, the state pitches in, the federal government is pitching in, and it's good to be here to support that. It's good that we have the revenue and the job base in our state to be able to afford this. Back in June, the storms that came through seemed like they skipped all over. Some counties in the pathway weren't declared disaster areas, and others were. Western Minnesota and Central Minnesota got hit harder, skipped over, came back and hit Hennepin County. Those storms come through, you know it. But members and the public, we also need to be cognizant of the disaster that could occur and is occurring by not fixing the bad tax policy that was snuck in on the citizens and the consumers of the state of Minnesota the last day of session. I just got another email from Wheaton, Minnesota. Repeal the warehousing tax because it's affecting jobs in our area. I've talked to farmers, dairy farmers, that happen to have livestock equipment go down the first week of July, an $800 additional bill on their repair. That is a disaster we also need to be cognizant of. And I hope we can fix that disaster collectively and swiftly in the near future, because we missed the opportunity. And if you look at all the bills introduced today, I think there's growing support to fix that disaster so our state doesn't have to worry about the income that comes in so we can pay for these disasters. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I rise in support of the bill with regards to the disaster dollars that are going to be expended to the counties that experienced the natural disaster. Having been a 16-year emergency management director myself, I know the work and the involvement of the counties and the cities and the school districts with the Department of Public Safety, and the amount of work that goes into declaring a public disaster. And it shows once again what Minnesotans can do and how they care for their people when it comes to natural disasters. I think this is a track record that Minnesota can be proud of. However, I have to, like my other colleagues, mention something that has been very troublesome to me. And if you take a trip out I-94, which I will later on this afternoon, you will start seeing something that may disturb you, may not, but it's really kind of stuck with me. Well, the first one of these billboard signs that I noticed was a mile marker number 64, where it says, bright yellow, huge billboard, North Dakota, open for business. I didn't think a whole lot of it to start with. It angered me somewhat until I came back to the cities, and on my way back I noticed another one, same sign, North Dakota, open for business in the Rogers area, I-94. I got to thinking an awful lot about just what exactly we have been doing here in the state of Minnesota. And after reading an article, it was further confirmed that now not only these signs are saying North Dakota open for business, but South Dakota now has joined in, as well as Wisconsin.
Members of the Senate, I'm not very proud of that. I'm not real proud to say that I was part of the process that all of a sudden sprung these signs up at our border communities or our main thoroughfares going out state. It really tells you what happened in this last session. I did, though, however, have a ray of hope when, and where the ray of hope comes from is the Joe Soucheray show, where once in a while somebody will come on there with some common sense and he'll hit the button and it'll say ray of hope. When I heard Mark Dayton, our governor, coming from Farm Fest and making the comment that, yes, I do agree. I think maybe we may have overreached when it comes to the sales tax on farm equipment. As a matter of fact, I don't recall that being in the bill, but in good form, I thought, he said, we'll fix that. Maybe we should fix that. And what a prime opportunity it would have been to have done that today. But what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened to fix that. So I have to ask, how serious is the administration when you walk away from a group saying that you're very serious about it and then all of a sudden it's forgotten about? I guess what they're doing is they're counting on Minnesotans, the ag community, as well as business-to-business folks to forget about the taxes. Members, I don't think that's going to happen. It's reared its ugly head in some polls today, as we noticed, and it's not going away. But we had a prime opportunity to at least start today with repealing at least the ag tax. And I would think that the Dayton administrator wouldn't be able to find somebody out of 201 to be able to come up with one repealer to show that there is actually a ray of hope for business in the state of Minnesota. Let's make these signs go away, members. Let's make them go away because they're not doing us any good.
Senator Sanchin.
Thank you, Mr. President, members, excuse me. Mr. President, members, we're here once again, and I've had the occasion, I think, on maybe three or four times to be at a session like this, a special session called for disaster relief. And that is good. I congratulate the governor and the leaders for putting this bill together. It's an important bill for many counties, 18 counties, I think it is, that have suffered through some level of natural disaster in which, once again, Minnesota in its true traditions comes together collectively as a state and says we're going to help you because this was unforeseen. The resources typically aren't there in these communities, and so we're here now to help you as one body, Republicans and Democrats, and that's certainly a good thing. And Madam President, has been alluded to, though, there is certainly another, if not already here, a looming disaster of an economic nature. And I don't think we can ignore that today, nor are we, and should we, because we need to talk about it. I think there are obviously certain provisions of the 2013 tax bill that are extremely worrisome. And we've all heard it, whether it's from farmers, whether it's from business people, frankly, whether it's from consumers who have told us that, you know, what went on, what are these bills all about? These are not good. These will hurt Minnesota. And, Madam President, I think to the heart of this body, I am convinced there's more than 34 votes in this room right now to repeal those. There's probably a strong, strong majority to do that. And frankly, from what I've read, the governor has indicated even an interest in getting rid of the and not enacting the warehouse tax. And for that matter, he's spoken about the so-called tax on ag equipment repair. So, you know, we could do that, except for the corner office is not interested today. I would say that's regretful. I think we could have done something today that is really positive, that could have brought Republicans and Democrats together in one unified voice and say, you know what, maybe that was an overreach. Maybe we shouldn't have done those things. But nonetheless, that is not going to happen today, and it's regretful. I will say this, though. I hope today that we're setting the stage for 2014. And that we come in here on, I believe it's February 25th, and get about the job of dealing with these extremely negative, counterproductive taxes which are going to affect Minnesota's economy, because it is true. We've heard about it from too many sectors of our society already, that these are not good, that they're not in the interest of the good and welfare of the state of Minnesota, and that we ought to, and hopefully we will, in 2014, get rid of these certain provisions which we're all hearing about.
The Secretary will give Senate File 1 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance, appropriating money to match federal disaster aid for the June 2013 severe storms and flooding, appropriating money for the April 2013 winter storms.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I want to rise to support the bill that's before us, and I do want to thank the governor for his willingness to call the legislature back to session to deal with the disaster relief, and to the comments of some of our colleagues to point out that there may be some issues that were not fully addressed in this bill. Certainly recognize that. I think it points out that there may be some things that we need to work on, and I look forward to continuing that effort in the next session. I also want to thank the members of the working group that spent some time in the days leading up to the session to look at the details of the that went into the bill. I know they spent a fair amount of time, heard a lot of testimony from people around the state. I know they did a lot of work to try to bring together a bill that made sense, and I appreciate their efforts. I want to thank the majority leader and the majority and their efforts to bring this bill together, and also members from the other body. I think a lot of times the legislature gets criticism for failing to do its work in the interest of the public in a bipartisan way, in a way that is efficient. Sometimes we do. I think this is an example of that. I think we did find a way to get this done in a relatively expeditious manner, and I do want to thank the majority for being able to orchestrate that, and I mean that quite sincerely. I do think we need to do some more work. There's been some talk about, do we really need to have a special session to deal with a disaster maybe of a relatively small magnitude? I'm not an expert on the constitutional issues that may be raised by short-circuiting that process, but I know there are other issues raised. Senator Miller had mentioned some things that sometimes in these disaster proclamations you might have segments of a county that may have a particularly high level of need that doesn't get addressed because the county itself doesn't reach the threshold. It seems to me there are some things that we should look at in the next session about how we handle disasters more generally, and I hope that next session we begin to take a harder look at some of that in the process itself. But I do stand in support of the bill and support of this process that we have been in so far, and I appreciate the work of all the members of this body, and I look forward to a green vote. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Cohen? Okay. Then, seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and the bill is adopted, given its title. Reverting back to motions and resolutions, we have another bill introduction that will be read by the Secretary.
Senator Reinert introduces Senate File Number 34, a bill for an act relating to the military, appropriating money for a grant to support activities related to the commissioning of the USS Minnesota.
The bill will be given its first reading and be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. May remaining under motions, we have Senate Resolution Number 3. Senator Bach. The Secretary will read the resolution.
Senators Bach and Han introduce Senate Resolution Number 3, a Senate resolution relating to adjournment of the special session.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move adoption of Senate Resolution Number 3. And members, this is the resolution that notifies the governor and the House that the Senate is about to adjourn sine die.
All those in favor of Senate Resolution Number 3, say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. Are there any announcements? Senator Han.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm wondering if I could ask a question of the Majority Leader.
Will the Majority Leader yield? He will yield. Senator Han.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Bach, just now that we are close to concluding the business of the special session and looking forward to the next session next year, I just wanted to, in anticipation of that, I know we've had a little bit of discussion here today. Some of the members expressed a certain amount of concern for taxes that were enacted in the last session, and the Speaker made some comments recently in the New Ulm Journal indicating that the warehousing tax, which I think many members have indicated have been quite harmful to the economy and to people in the state, was a Senate proposal, and that it was demanded by the Senate. And that is news to me, and I wanted to know if you knew if that was in fact the case, that as the Speaker is indicating, that that tax was something that the Senate insisted on. And furthermore, if regardless of whether we demanded it or not, are you willing to say that this body would be willing to put on the table in February a bill to repeal that tax and pay for it, if you will, by reducing spending, which is another comment that Speaker Thiessen indicated is the way that we should do that. And I'm just wondering, Senator Bach, if you would agree to make that part of our agenda in February as we come back, and whether you had any comment about Speaker Thiessen's remarks about this being a tax that was the fault of the Senate's demand that we have it.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Han, you'll remember when the Senate organized last year, one of the committees that we created was a tax reform committee that Senator Rest chaired. And the Senate tax bill that passed the Senate actually extended the sales tax to a number of things that people purchase. And it was revenue neutral, the sales tax article by itself, because it actually extended, broadened the sales tax to some things that currently aren't taxed, but it then reduced the rate on every purchase that you make to 6%. And that is what passed the Senate. When the bill came back, what ended up prevailing was the Senate did prevail on some of the provisions in that sales tax article. One of them was cities and counties since 1991 or 1992, I believe, have been paying sales tax on all of the purchases that they make. That costs about $100 million a year for our cities and counties to pay sales tax to the state of Minnesota on their purchases. They are now exempt, thanks to the tax bill. The other provision that was in the sales tax reform article was when businesses make purchases for capital equipment, they would have to pay the sales tax and then go through a very cumbersome refund program and someday down the road get it refunded back. Lots of businesses, maybe as many as 40% of businesses, didn't have the accounting staff to ever be able to go through that refund process and never got that sales tax refunded back to them in the very difficult process that we had. The provision that the Senate prevailed on in the final tax bill was now today, when businesses make capital equipment purchases, those purchases now are tax exempt up front. There is not a sales tax that has to be paid. So I think what people need to remember when we talk about the provisions that were passed into law, the budget, and Senator Cohen can speak to this better than I can, at the end of the day has to be in balance. And when you spend money on things like exempting cities and counties from having to pay sales tax, or exempting businesses from having to pay sales tax on their capital equipment purchases, they have to be paid for. And so the sales tax article that was passed into law did extend the sales tax to three different types of purchases, and what was paid for with that money was the sales tax exemption for cities and counties up front, and the upfront capital equipment exemption that applied to business purchases. Now, Senator Hand, to your question, bills are going to get introduced, and I'm sure Senator Scoy is going to be willing to hear them in the tax committee. What people need to remember is we've got a November forecast coming, and if the governor is going to propose a supplemental budget, it will be based on that. The governor's ability to be able to reduce any taxes is going to be somewhat limited unless he finds corresponding reductions in spending, because the first $400 million of new revenue that we all hope is there in the November forecast is committed to pay back the school shift. And I don't mean to sound partisan, but the school shift that was adopted in the 2011 budget bill. So the first $400 million is already committed out the door. We can't use it to reduce the warehousing tax or any of the other sales tax provisions because it's already spoken for to pay back our schools. So to the extent that there's money available over that, we certainly are going to have a conversation of what we spend it on, whether we spend it on looking at revisiting some tax issues, or we spend it on the finance side, will be what the next session likely is going to be about, in addition to bonding and a few other small policy bills. But that, Senator Hand, is kind of the lay of the land. I think it just depends on if there's any money around to be able to do it, and if Senator Cohen and his finance divisions are willing to make some reductions, or hopefully if some of the spending comes in below what was forecasted, which oftentimes happens, especially in the Health and Human Service area, spending will come in above or below what's being forecasted. So much will depend on what happens in the November forecast and then later in February. But Senator Hand, I just want to, before we adjourn, thank you for the effort that you put into putting this special session together and the agreement that we're able to come to provide the much needed disaster relief that is required out there to show our local units of government that the state is a partner with you, especially in times of need. So Senator Hand and Representative Dowd and Speaker Thiessen, thank you, and the governor and all of his staff and all the people in the state departments, thank you for all the cooperation in getting this done today, and to all the members who participated and spoke, thank you for keeping your comments brief so that we could get this done in a timely way and get it over to the House, because they have twice as many people who want to speak on it today.
Remaining under motions and resolutions, we revert to introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The Secretary will read the bill.
Senators Dietzick, Tomasoni, and Dibble introduce Senate File Number 35, a bill for an act relating to transportation, amending provisions relating to municipal consent for certain highway projects.
The bill will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Are there any more announcements? Senator Stump.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to rise and take the opportunity to express my gratitude to Senator Lori. I don't know if all of you remember the first Senate file, I believe, in last session was the Affordable Care Act. And more recently, we just saw the results of the Affordable Care Act exchange rates that came out. And I believe Minnesota was one of the lowest ones in the nation in terms of health care rates. And so I know how hard Senator Lori worked last session, and I think we are now seeing the payoff of all that work, not only that you put into it, but I think every member here had a vested interest in it. So I think Minnesota is... got a good future in terms of these new rates.
Further brief announcements of Senate interest. Senator Nienau.
Thank you, Madam President. I just wanted to thank Senator Bach for publicly acknowledging that the current budget does not pay back the school shift, that we have to hope and pray that money shows up in the November forecast, and if there's not extra money, it won't get paid back, and if there is extra money, it will get paid back. But I appreciate the acknowledgement that this budget does not pay back the school shift.
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Reinert, Sachs, Hogg, Rest, Scalzi, Marty, Anderson, Rood, Limmer, all day. Senator Dibble from 10 to 10:25. Senator Lass from 10 to 10:25. Senator Nienau from 10 to 10:25. Are there any other announcements? Seeing none, then Senator Bach.
Madam President, just would like to announce for those of you that are members of the Rules Committee is going to meet immediately after we adjourn in room 107, I believe 107.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I've moved that the special session adjourn sine die.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned until...